This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required, points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
You are watching Leicester Till I Die TV.
Till I die.
Right, Chris.
Alrighty, good evening. Good day, good morning, good afternoon, good night, goodbye. Hello, depending whereabouts in the world you are. Welcome along. We're back. We've had our Christmas break. Craig's stuffed his turkey. He's had his fill of pudding and he's joining me tonight. And we're also going to be extremely pleased to be welcoming Luke from Sky Blues Fan TV. Details are in the description. It's like match one again, isn't it? How are you doing? Anyway, this is LTID TV. I hope you are well. We've got the FA Cup out the way, a good win for both the teams. And it's a proper derby, because if you remember, Brad always likes to say a derby is only a proper derby when it has a road named after it. It's the M69 derby, and it's tomorrow. It's the early kickoff. And we'll be covering it here on LTID TV.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die. Independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
Indeed, Craig. Good evening, sir. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to everyone. How are you doing?
I am doing extremely well at the moment. What is there not to be happy about? You know, it's a new year. We're getting older. Could be going to war. Well, it's not going to war, but there's wars going on all over. But Leicester are top of the league. We may have had to drop down a division, but who cares? We're top.
We are top and long. Well, no, not long may it continue. Let just continue for another few months.
Indeed.
We don't want to be there next year.
No. We don't want to do a Burnley either. I mean, yeah, and I'm going to say this sort of to Luke before I bring him in, that we have been accused of sort of being particularly, but Leicester fans are being smarmy, of having all this money to spend, blah, blah, blah. We're not. We're just enjoying winning again, because this time last year, we weren't very happy at all, were we?
No. I had tried to blank that out of my memory, Chris, but thank you. Thanks for that.
I do like to bring you back down to earth a little bit and ground you, shall we say. So yes. you know. But he's sitting very, very nicely in the green room waiting to come in. I say green room. I think it's probably his bedroom or somewhere. But let's bring him in. Luke, how the devil are you? Good evening.
Good evening. You all right?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yes, it is a bedroom. I've not got a green room.
And Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you.
You know. Look, I can say, please don't take the fact that we're happy and we're smiling. I mean, I think any team would be with where we are, and we certainly didn't expect to be where we are, but 12 months ago, we were absolutely miserable and you know, wondering sort of, you know, do we go and get the knives out the kitchen cupboard? Things were that bad. 12 months later, it's here. We're in the championship. We're doing well. Craig, I've got to ask you this, first of all. Do you think we needed to drop down a division to make those changes? We did before, didn't we? We went down to the third tier.
You can't. It's difficult to tell what would have happened if we'd have stayed up. You know, if Brendan had turned it round in the time that he was there, then, you know, he may well have still been here and we wouldn't be doing this. Mm. You know, if Dean Smith had turned it round, and there's every chance that they may have given him the job. So it's tricky. It's one of those things that would never have happened, I would imagine. We maybe never would have got Maresca, although, from what I've read, we were interested in him when we gave the job to Dean Smith and his little entourage. But I don't think there was any way you were going to be able to prize Maresca out of Man City while they were en route to winning the Champions League. So I get the feeling that we'd identified him, because he was appointed very soon afterwards. It was only a matter of days, I think, after he'd lifted the trophy with Man City that he was announced as our new manager. So the groundwork must have been done before then.
His hands were still warm on the Champions League trophy. I think it was 6 days. It was quite something. I mean, Luke, have you been surprised at our season?
To be honest with you, no. I think it's just one of them teams. We've seen them come down over the years. We went down, sadly, and we just never come back up. But over the, you know, historically, over the past 5 or 6 years, we see teams come down, and some of them, you know, they might be easy to play against, and some just, you know, no chance. So, I mean, if I'm honest, I never expected Leicester to come down in the first place. I never expect them to suffer in the Championship. You know, where you are right now is exactly where I'd imagine you guys would have been, you know, back when the start of the season. And then we got drawn to play you guys away first game of the season. And I thought, here we go.
We will come on to that, don't you? Don't you worry. We will revisit that day. I just want to say a couple of pieces of happier news and then some sad news before we get into the main body of the show. I say happy, very happy birthday to Jamie Vardy and one of his predecessors in Emil Heskey, who apparently are both celebrating their birthdays today. So congratulations to both of them. Jamie Vardy is about 90, going on 21 still, isn't he?
Yeah.
Got to send our best to Sven. He's been around a bit. I mean, you know, I can't believe the top looking very young there, it has to be said. Andrich, our ex-chairman, and Sven in the middle. I couldn't believe it when we signed him as our manager. I've got nice memories. I remember going down with my son. It was an evening game. And I mean, it must be nearing 11 o'clock. Well, gone 11 when he came out the stadium, and he had time for every single fan. There was a lot of us there, and you know, he could have just thought, like, yeah, I don't think we'd have particularly had a good game, but he just had time for autographs, for pictures. It didn't work out for him, but apparently he's got cancer. He's got about a year to live. So from LTID and from me, and I'm sure from you as well, Craig, and all the Leicester fans, we wish him all the best.
Yeah, he was. There was a few years ago when he was manager. I was lucky enough that our company had a box down at King Power, and usually you'd have the same routine on most match days, that you'd have something to eat and a couple of drinks, so you go out. And then there was this one particular day where we got a knock on the door. Everybody who was supposed to be in the box was already there, so we were wondering what was going on. Thought it's probably just waitresses coming in, you know, to top up the coffee or whatever. And it was one of the PR people from the club walked in and just said, "Oh, we've got a guest who just wanted to come and say hello." And there was Sven taking time out before the match to just go and visit a few other people in the executive boxes. I remember our boss's lad, who now works at our place, and he's 21 or something. Like a 10-year-old at the time, having his photo taken with him. And he was very affable, happy to give his time. And you know, in that brief moment, you could get the warmth from him that he was just a really nice guy. So, so happy memories of that. But sending him all our very best wishes. And
I still can't. I mean, I've got a signed picture of him up on the wall here. And I still can't believe he came to us. It didn't work out. We weren't doing particularly bad. We would, you know, I think if it was today, we'd sort of be calling ourselves for sort of sacking him so soon. We were about 10th or 11th, weren't we?
Yeah, well, yeah, if I remember rightly, and I know because we've got some very clever people in the background here, they will correct me if I'm wrong, but I had a feeling that our first game, that the first full season that Sven was here, was away at Cov.
Right.
And was that wagging finger at me there, Chris?
No, that wagging finger was that I'm trying to wind Luke up.
Oh, no, I was just checking that you hadn't got something already planned. Yeah, if I remember rightly, we had it was an away game, first game of the season, away at Cov. We won 1-0 with a Lee Peltier header, if I remember rightly. But I'm sure that was either Sven's first game or it was his first away game in a full season. But so happy days, happy days.
Yeah, a gentleman, and we wish him well.
Yeah.
Talking of managers, Luke, and we do this on every show, ex-Leicester player currently in the hot seat. Your season, we'll look at it in a bit more detail in a minute, but your thoughts on Mr. Robbins there?
Ex-Leicester. We don't know whether it's worse. We got ex-Leicester player or ex-Man United player. We don't know.
Yeah. You know, I mean, come on, let's be honest with you. Leicester's the bigger club at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think Mark's doing really well for us. He's, as you know, he's been up against it. And the budget, the time with Sisu, the whole stadium debacle, and yet he still managed to sort of keep it into the dressing room. It's all just about the team and the football, and I think that's what's important for us. Try to keep the players sort of away from the distractions of what's going on. I think it's going to be one of our greatest yet. You know, a lot of fans are calling for a statue of him already, but you know, we're just in the process of getting a statue for Cillian and Curtis. So, but no, Mark Robbins. Yeah, I mean, when he came back, I thought, yeah, I think this time, hopefully he'll stay. I didn't at the time think he would stay for long, but he's now, I think, you know, he's almost like 7 years in now. It's good. Yeah, he seems to, probably a lot of people will go, why has he made these decisions, or why has he signed these players? And we have to remember what him and Adi Vivash see behind the scenes is completely different to what we see. So, and he seems to spot talent. And then we grow that talent, and they become really good for us, and then they get sold to Sporting Lisbon. You know, so but no, I think he's doing well for us now, and I'd long may it continue. I'd like to see, obviously, I'd like to see us go up to the Premier League. I'd like it to be under Mark Robbins. I think he deserves that for everything he's given to the club.
I mean, we know all about that, don't we, Craig? Bringing through talent and then selling them on to bigger clubs. I always liked him as a player at Leicester.
Mm.
Yeah, I did. And but I think you've got to give him full respect as a manager as well, that he's gone on to have a fairly successful career in most, like most managers, at some point it goes a little bit sour. But virtually everywhere he's been, he's turned clubs around, he's settled them down, and he's got them steady. You know, maybe not spectacular, but what I like about him is he's never up and he's never down, is he, Mark Robbins? From what I see, he's flatlining, but he keeps everybody's feet on the ground, and he never seems to panic. From the outside, he doesn't look like a manager who panics. You didn't have a particularly great start to the season. But he knew what you had. He knew what he had to do with the team, you know, getting players back in and just getting organised. And you've just gradually worked your way back up. So I think he's a really, really solid manager.
Yeah.
I'm just looking here at your history, Luke. And 1920, you came up as champions of League One. Was Mark in charge then?
I would say, I know he looks old, but he's not that old. Yeah,
and then it's not that long ago, really, is it? When you think,
1920?
No, 2019.
That's not what you said, though.
Are you, did I 1920?
Did I? Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. 2019, 2020. Sorry.
He was in charge then.
So, I mean, while he's been there, then, see, so you know, you got promoted first from League One. He's got you. Sort of mid-table finishes, but you're going second in the championship. Well, last season, didn't you? I mean, again, we feel your pain. We know what it's like to lose in a playoff final. I had you down at the start of the season as one of the teams that were really, really, really going to sort of hit the ground running following that. But you, like Craig was saying, then it's not really been like that, has it?
No, it hasn't. And I mean, we started last season pretty much the same, but this season we didn't have the ground problems or the pitch problems. But there was almost like a mass exodus, a mass clear out. And I think we brought in, I think it was about 8 players in total. And it was such a large, it was like a big dilution to what was a solid squad. I think losing Jokeres was massive for us. And then we lost Gus as well. I mean, I know he played in the match against you, the first game of the season. That was his, you know, that was it. He was done. So I think we had all these players that Mark had this sort of vision of where, of how he's going to build the team. But you had the old school players and, you know, then you got these new ones coming in. I think it was the jamming problem. And Mark did say after a lot of the interviews, just need the time, they need the time to gel. And it was, a lot of fans were getting impatient. Starting to worry, thinking, you know, we'd come off the back of a playoff final. So I think a lot of fans were expecting, right, straight up there, we're going to be challenging, you know, for them top places straight away. And it wasn't coming. No. But as we all know, the championship is a long, long marathon. You know, it's not about the sprint. Yeah. So the players have come good now. Some of the players we brought in, a lot of the players brought in. But they just, I think it was that time to jam.
Yeah. I'm going to say hi to Judy. I saw Judy earlier on Luke's channel when I was on there doing this same thing on his channel. Do check it out, Leicester City Down Under. He's just starting out. He comes on here, you know, Luke from Australia. He's here on a Saturday on the watch along. So, Judy, hello. And Judy, thank you so very, very much. She has become our newest member. It is just £1.99 of your good English pounds every month. And again, there's a link in the description below that tells you exactly what you get. So, Judy, appreciate that. Thank you so very much. Nice to see you again. I mean, I'm looking at there, and you did flatline there for a few weeks down in 20th. But suddenly he has turned it round, Mark Robins, hasn't he?
Yeah, I remember that season. The international break just didn't do us any favours. And I think that was at the time where we lost Callum O'Hare to an injury. And we went on a good start, bit of a recovery. You see that first peak and then that international break. And we just never sort of came back from him straight away. And I remember saying at the time, we don't need this break now. We just don't need this break. We always seem to do really bad coming back off an international break. I don't know if they've had too much time off, you know, but yeah. So that didn't help. But I think in the Championship last season, it was so strange because at any one time you could look, the points difference between, say, you know, 14th and 6th was, you know, 4 or 5 points. And a loss or a win, and you just up and down. And it was a crazy Championship last season, crazy. And I never look at the table straight away. I don't bother because it can be quite hard reading.
Of us a certain age, Craig, certainly my age, I don't know about you, can remember when we didn't used to see a table for about 10 weeks.
No, the only table you got was your shoot league ladder. That you did yourself.
Yeah, oh God, yes. And you are that old. I didn't like to mention that. I mean, no disrespect to Coventry. When it came to the playoff final and we knew we were down, I didn't want Coventry going up. I really didn't. As I'm sure if the roles had been reversed, you know, and had we stayed up, I would have loved you to come up because to me, this is the proper derby. And we've been starved of derbies, haven't we, Craig? Yeah. You know, we were even claiming Wolves as a local derby at one point. I had this discussion with Neil the other day. You know, Villa was a derby. You know, in a way, Nott Forest coming up gave us something to actually cheer. But these M69 derbies, it's a proper derby, like Brad says, Craig.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be interested to understand whether Cov fans see it as the same, whether the Leicester is their proper derby or whether you look to the West Midlands for yours. But for us, it is, I guess, it is as close as we can actually get.
Oh, let's ask him, Luke. How do Coventry fans look on this game?
Yeah, this is a good question. We a lot of people at work, they ask me, I work in Birmingham, so a lot of people are Villa fans, and they'll say, they assume that that's our sort of, we class that as our hatred, our derby. And you go back to the late 80s when I was going as a kid, it was always, all I knew was we never liked the Villa. But getting a bit older, you start to realise actually it's Leicester. Leicester's our actual derby, which is strange because some people claim Coventry is part of West Midlands. So should be the West Midlands derby is Blues and Villa. And then you'll get the other side of Coventry is saying, no, we're Warwickshire, so it's Warwickshire East Midlands. But no, I think the biggest derby for us is Leicester. Leicester, it's a great day, you know, regardless of the score. It's just, you know, I treat it like an FA Cup final, I do. It's for me, it's like an FA Cup final. It's a good day.
Wow. I mean, and I've got to say, this with everything that's gone on at Coventry, and I said exactly the same about Derby, as a club that has been in administration and been looking over that precipice as we have, haven't we, Craig? We wouldn't wish that on anybody, not even like, you know, Coventry and Derby, because, you know, we none of us want to lose the club, and we have been that close. But your memories of the playoff final last year, did you want Luton, Craig, or did you want Coventry if we'd stayed up?
To be honest, I wasn't really overly bothered. I think there's a couple of sides to it of, if Cov stay down and we do get the derby, but it's like the double-edged sword of them going up when we're coming down and all of a sudden we're not the top dog down the M69, you know. And but then, you know, I'm not sure I really wanted Luton. But I guess I wanted probably Luton a little bit more just to give them a chance back up there. But you want those kind of clubs in there when we want Luton to stay there. I think that's safe to say that if we do get back up, there's at least one club we might be able to stay above, you know, next season. And that's when you come up, that's all you look at. Are there three worst clubs? But it was interesting you saying that you look on this as your cup final. I just hope that you haven't got Keith Houchin playing up front tomorrow.
Oh, God. No. Well, definitely not. We have got a few others that are good with their head, but not quite as good as Keith.
Yeah.
Scott asks Luke, what's the situation going on with Mike Ashley? Does he have any influence within the club?
We're not kept in the dark as such with that. It's hard to find out the truth. All we know as fans is he has a say in the ground, and he has a say about like his sponsorship with Frasers Plus, which is his company, and we pay almost like a rental fee, I think, there. But there seems to be a great relationship, but I don't think he has a lot to do with the club from the club business side of it, out of the stadium and out of match days. But one thing I will say is we've noticed this season, when you go inside in the sort of like the foyer part, it's just full of memorabilia from Coventry, like vinyl wall decors, and it's so nice. There's been a lot of improvement. So that wouldn't have gone, or wouldn't have happened, had it not been for the agreement of Ashley saying, yes, she could do this, because technically he owns the stadium. So I'm quite pleased with it. I mean, I'd like for Doug to have bought it himself, so it's back in the club, but it could have gone a lot worse than Mike Ashley, which is really weird saying that, because when he bought the club, I thought, oh, here we go. You know, it's going to become the Sports Direct Stadium or something like that.
Yeah. Well, Coventry Building Society, Sports Direct. I mean, we nearly had the Walker's Bowl, didn't we, Craig?
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, that's it. You know, as fans, you're just at the mercy of whoever's got the pockets. We were just really fortunate with the people who bought ours, you know. Mm. And you know, I don't think Leicester fans should ever forget that.
No, definitely 100% not. And in fairness, whatever you say about Mike Ashley at Newcastle, he left them financially in a very good position.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, these days with football, as we mentioned before, we came live, Luke, that's what it's all about these days, is the financial side, isn't it? And having the money. But that's, I could say, I would imagine you're a lot happier now with your season, Luke, than you were maybe sort of 10 games ago.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a bit worried about the next running. You know, we've got sort of, we've got you guys on Saturday. Then after that, we've got Sheffield Wednesday away, which should be okay. But then it's Norwich away again. We've got two away games in the run. In between that, we're back again to Sheffield Wednesday and the cup run. So, yeah. But I don't fancy playing Norwich away at the minute. I think we're due something from them. But I am happy with where we are. Mm. If we could finish at this position in the league, if someone said, you know, this is where you finish in eighth, you know, would you take it? Yeah. Considering the start we had, absolutely. It's a rebuild. And for the first time, we've got a team without, I think we've got one loanee, whereas last season we had a lot of loanees. We've got a team now with players with contracts.
You think that was part of the problem? I mean, talking of loanees, of course, a certain Mr. Doyle, who decided that the darker blue is more to his liking than the lighter blue. Although I have a feeling Pep might have had something to do with that. I mean, was that a problem for you, having too many loanees that didn't stay?
I think it's good for like a short-term sort of solution, but you can't build it, because unless they're going to renew for another year, you're sort of back at square one again, which is where we were at the start of this season, you know, like a rebuild of players again. And you're kind of starting with people that are not used to the way the team plays and not used to how Robbins does things. So I think now with the signings we've took, it's if we could finish around where we are this season, if we don't make the playoffs, I'll be happy with that. And then we just go again in the summer and maybe strengthen again in the summer that extra little bit, you know. So, yeah.
I think the one benefit you've got this season as well, in the nicest possible way, is that you don't really seem to have any standout stars who may get nicked in the close season, so you can build on what he does.
That's a double-edged compliment, isn't it, Greg?
I think it's a fair comment, though.
Yeah, no, absolutely fair. Yeah. I don't like it when our player, to Sakamoto, made it onto the FC24 team of the week. And me, being the cynical me, don't like that. It opens eyes.
Under the radar. Yeah.
Not
I mean, Craig, talking about games coming up, is We want to win this one, probably more so with it being Coventry and doing the double over them would be nice. And then we've got a small matter, our next game of Ipswich.
Yeah, I'm going to say, I think this is a tough couple of games. I expect this to be a tough game, to be honest. Coventry are in good form. You know, we're in decent form, but, you know, we're not. You know, we've had a couple of decent results at home where we've put a few goals past people, but I don't think we've actually, you know, run away from anyone in a game. And even if we do get ahead, we try and make it interesting for the fans by letting them score a late goal.
This is very true. We don't like a 3-1 win when we can hold on to a 3-2, do we?
Exactly. You know, we're nothing if not the entertainers. You know you've paid your hard-earned money. Let's make it interesting right up to the 96th minute.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting this to be a tough one, and then we've got to regroup and go again for Ipswich as well. But
do you think, Gray? I mean, I keep saying, because we lost two games in a trot. We've only lost three all season, so it's not alarm bells at all. But we lost to Leeds and then we lost to Middlesbrough. And I suddenly thought, oh, is this going to be our dip? Because every team has a dip.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the graph there for Coventry, you can see, you know, they had one mid-season so far this season. I'm still worried that is going to come back up sometime and happen.
I mean, the thing is, you know, someone's got to win five games where we get beaten in five to catch it. That's the way you've got to look at it. I saw one of the Southampton players was being interviewed this week, and oh, it was Ryan Adams, that was it. And he was saying that he was not confident, but he believed. He said, we go into every game hoping that we can win. Ryan Fraser, not Ryan Adams. He's a pop star, isn't he?
Ryan Adams, but
yeah, no, there's a Ryan. And anyway, so Ryan Fraser was saying that they've got to believe that they can catch Leicester, you know, if they continue their run of form. But he seems to, you know, not realise that we have to lose the games as well. It doesn't count that they get to play more games.
Yeah.
So we've got to lose five and they've got to win five for people to actually catch us. So, yeah, we may have a little wobble, and I'm sure we will. There are going to be some defeats, but
yeah,
I think it's important to not let one defeat turn into two, turn into three, because then you do start getting a little bit nervous. But you would imagine the quality that we've got in the team should be enough to see us through without some kind of disaster. And, you know, we've got a couple of injuries, but we haven't lost some of our key players to the African Cup of Nations that we thought we would do. You know, Fatuhu we thought was going to go, and he stayed behind. So, and I think that's a massive bonus for us. And we're in the January window where we can possibly strengthen again. And I know we're already looking at one or two players.
It is. And on that note, thank you so very much. You cross them over, I'll nod them in. Saturday at 5 p.m. We're going to, as well as looking at the scores, because of course we kick off early, we've got the second edition of our transfer show, when we'll be looking at all the players that are being linked with Leicester. We may have signed somebody by then. Curtin asks, aren't LCFC in the same boat with regards to loanees? We've got Doyle, we've got Cassidy. Who knows? They may not go back to their club if we get promoted. They may not, you know, and how many of these players do we see, Craig, where they go back to the club and you never hear from them again?
Yeah.
You know, and so they may decide, having spent a season here, well, yeah, if we go up, we'll sign Fatuhu. If we go up, we've got to sign.
Yeah.
Eunice and Scott's just said there he wouldn't sign him, but he you know, he's an option. So, but we have got the basis of, you know, permanent signings there, if you like. Now this is an interesting one for us, Craig. Do you see Coventry has been a tougher game than Ipswich after Ipswich's form? I think this, because Ipswich are where they are, and obviously we were beating them before 1-0, and we ended up with a draw. And away days are great, but when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With two in three football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
And which led, of course, to my famous rant. You wouldn't have believed that, would you, if you hadn't seen it? But, I mean, it's not going to be easy, but is this, I don't know how to say, must-win games, but to me, a win is more important in this game in case we again end up with a draw against Ipswich.
Yeah, for me, I mean, a win against Cov and a draw against Ipswich is not a bad scenario, to be honest, because depending on what Ipswich do at the weekend, you know, we're two further games into the season and they haven't made any points on us. So that's not a bad scenario for me. And it'd be interesting to see how Ipswich bounce back. I think in the prediction league, I've gone for Ipswich to bounce back in and get a win. But I think what we're seeing is how the clubs that have come down and have managed to keep their squads together are going to benefit into the second half of the season. And it's as soon as you start getting a few injuries, what's the depth of your squad like? Yeah. And particularly, I think Ipswich struggled because of the number of games and they didn't have a big enough squad to be able to rotate players. As soon as they lost one, two, three of their top stars, then their performance dipped a little bit. And whereas we had games where we could rotate and managed to still get results. But in answer to that particular question, I think they're both tough games, to be fair. But there's every chance that this one will be tougher because it's away from home and we know that Cov will be up for it and the crowd will as well.
Well, if we look at that there, Luke, I mean, Coventry's home form based on the last five games, you're fourth in the division. Our away form, we're first in the division. The last five games, you've won four, drawn one. Our last five games, we've won four, drawn one. You've scored 16 goals. We've scored 13. You've conceded five. We've conceded four. Games over 2.5 goals. You've had four of them. We've had three. Where both teams have scored, you've had three. We've had three. It's going to be a 0-0 draw, isn't it, Luke?
I'd probably take that. But it will be tight. But if you look at sort of I was looking at the stats earlier from the first game of the season, and it was, although you guys dominated possession, it seems to be quite on par. I think the stats was that both had sort of 20 shots attempt. Both, and I think we had six on goal and you had seven on goal. You know, it's just little things like that. I think it's very close. And I truly believe it's that whole derby thing, isn't it? Like you say, each team are up for it. I think it means to the players and the fans, it means more than 3 points. So, yeah, we've been doing well at home. For us, well, I would say up until a couple of weeks ago, for us, if we conceded, we were never coming back from it. But just recently, we've conceded and we have sort of got a result. But I just can't see that lasting. I think with the kind of nature of the game, I think if you guys score first, we might go back at it through that pride thing. But I think if a second goal comes in, there's no way back from that.
No, don't worry. We'll let you have one in the last 5 minutes at least.
In Robin's time.
Yes.
Exactly. As we always call it.
it is true. We do like, 3-1 up and you think we could put a game to bed, and we do like sort of making it interesting. Scott, ask you here, Luke. I apologise, I don't know the Coventry fan's name. It's Luke, by the way. But what's Coventry's depth like? Have you got game changers coming off the bench?
For the first time in years, we have, yeah, we've got sort of options that we can play. So, you know, we've got sort of a player for each sort of position, which is really good. So I don't know who you'll play, who you'll start. I imagine players like Casey Palmer, De Silva, they'll be on the bench. but I guarantee they'll come on. It's kind of like more, it's like the players that we've got, like Sakamoto, he's the player that for us as commentary players, we really want to see start because he's dangerous with him and Van Evick down that right-hand side. It's hard. We cause problems with them too. But no, we have got a lot of depth this time. Obviously not a massive amount, but a lot more than what we've had over the years. You know, previously when we've had injuries, we think, who are we going to play? And it's almost like they bring someone in from the youth squad who's been, you know, been trained for 2 weeks or something. You think, oh, who are this? But this is the first season where we've got some decent depth to it. We lost Liam Kitchen to that controversial red card after the game. And but we, for the first time again in a couple of years, we'll just put Lewis Binks on. Or we could even play Carl McFadden. You know, we don't normally get that.
Talking of squad depth, Craig, for the first time in a long time, I'm sat here with a smile on my face listening to that. And like I say, Luke, it's no disrespect because, like I say, 12 months ago, we'd have been sat here crying at that very same sentence that you said. But, you know, Millwall, I hate saying B team, but, it, you know, it was the squad team. But how often in the past have we put out a squad team against a lower league team and we've struggled and quite often lost? And yet this time we did it against the team that we just managed to get past a few weeks ago. And in fairness, dominated the game. And when you look at the players that were on the bench that we didn't bring on, if you like the big guns, it was only KDH that came on.
Yeah, no, it was a good win. By all accounts, you know, we rode our luck a little bit early on, as we tend to do in a lot of games. We're not the greatest of starters. But we were clinical, you know, and big up to Cassidy, who's getting a little bit of stick from some quarters. I think we need to remember that he is a young kid. He's playing in a team with better players around him, so he's not going to stand out as he may have done when he was at Reading. There's definitely a player there, and what I like about him is his determination. And when he was top scorer and player of the tournament, I think in the World Cup under 18s, something like that.
I don't know. I go anything from Euro 21 under 21.
Yeah, a lot of his goals were similar to that one he got at Millwall, with his head arriving late in the box. And, you know, those kind of midfield players who can time the run into the box, they're few and far between. You know, you go back to the likes of Lampard for probably the last real one who was doing that on a regular basis. So, and it was a thumping header and the real determination that he showed to get on the end of the cross. So, and then he played a great through ball for Ricardo as well. So he's got the vision there.
Yeah.
You know, and I think
Enzo said, didn't he, that Eunice wouldn't have done that. As fact, he's a different type of player. Yeah. That's why Cassidy's there. And he's got that chance now. You know, indeed, he's out till April and what have you. I do want to ask, let me start with you, Luke, first of all. We were going to be doing foot in both camps later, but we mentioned Doyle earlier. You had him sort of all last season. I believe, if papers are right, you wanted him back this season. How good was he for you?
I think he was brilliant. I really admired him. He was loved by the fans. And I think he was, when he first came in, I think he was struggling a little bit. But he was under the wing of Carl McFadden, who's one of our oldest veteran, you know, defenders. And I think he guided him right. And he just started really showing and blossoming with the club. And towards the end, that run in, the last, you know, 8-9 games, he was playing an absolute blinder for us. And we actually loved him. I was hoping he'd stay, but we were like, nah, not on his wage. we weren't able to afford that. But, I mean, there was plans. We did speak of, if we went up, could we afford to keep him? And I don't know the ins and outs of that, but I would have loved to see him stay for a second season. He's fantastic.
Luke, where was he playing for you? Was he playing left back in a flat back four, or was he centre half?
He was left back, and we played like a back five back then, because that's what it was under sort of Carl McFadden. Built the defensive wall around him, which is different this season. We play a flat back four, but Yeah, I think it was a left back he played at. Yeah, so but he was just.
Did he get forward a lot?
Yes, he likes to.
See, run. I think I'm not sure we're seeing the best of him because we play him on the left of a back four, but that back four quickly becomes a back three, and Maresca doesn't really like his sort of wider defenders pushing on a lot. That's why we lost Christensen, who left the club. Because he realised he wouldn't be able to play how he wanted to play.
Yeah.
So he's not getting those opportunities to get forward. And so I'm not sure we're going to see the best of him, to be honest. He's just come back from injury. Mm-hmm. He's looking like he's carrying a little bit of timber for me. He looks like he's been going on the fast food diet of Luke Shaw at the moment. But
not with a bit of timber, I'll have you know, Greg.
No, but I'm hoping it's a tricky one because in his absence, you know, James Justin's played very well. So it's whether he gets his spot back. And then, you know, if he does or doesn't, that'll be the question next season as to whether we've got enough to keep him or whether he wants to stay. And if he's probably not getting enough game time, then he probably wouldn't anyway. So it's an interesting one to watch how that plays out with Doyle, I think, for the rest
you
of
may,
the season.
You may want to, if anybody's watching this, you may want to bookmark this because I'm actually going to agree with Craig here that I don't see what all the fuss is about with Doyle. I mean, yes, I know he's been injured a lot and that, you know, was unfortunate, but I would not start him over Justin. Mm. I know he played 90 minutes, didn't he, against Millwall in the Cup. But to me, Justin, he just offers a lot more. Now, it may be, Scott says clipped. Thank you, Scott. It's just everybody seems to speak to, so it seems to think he's wonderful. And we know he's got that left foot that Enzo wants on that side and James Justin doesn't. But, I mean, tomorrow, Craig, I would start James Justin.
Yeah, I agree. I think the problem is it doesn't really work in our formation because you've got a fullback who wants to bomb forward. If their natural instincts is to bomb forward and they're being told to not do it, or if you do it, you've got to have enough pace to get back. And he's lacking in the pace department up against James Justin. And that shows a little bit. If you're playing with what turns out to be a back three and he's one of them, then you need to have recovery pace on either side of let's face it, you know, not the Usain Bolt of the footballing world in Yannick Vestergaard. so you do need the players either side of him to have some recovery pace.
I was on Luke's channel earlier, like I say, and Kate was on with us, and we both said that about Yannick. He's not the Danish stallion, is he, when it comes to speed?
No, and I think that's why Wout Faes has cemented his place on the on the side of him as well, instead of Cody. You know, we bought Cody and you would have thought he would have walked into our team.
Yeah.
But I think that extra pace offers the reassurance alongside Vestergaard, and I think JJ gives that on the other side, although he was a little bit dodgy early on. So I think that is a shirt that's definitely up for grabs, and it'll be interesting to see how Maresca goes between JJ and Doyle.
Who should we be worried about, Luke, on the Coventry side?
As I said before, Sakamoto. I think Van Ewyk and Ewyk and Sakamoto down that side. Sakamoto just seems to be putting them in. Hadji Wright, I'd probably say. And maybe Casey Palmer. Them four seem to do really well. Godden's not doing too bad, but I don't know whether he'll start. But if he starts Sakamoto and Van Ewyk, and along with Palmer and O'Hare, I think they're the sort of key players to watch out for. Defensive-wise, I think we've got a good defence. Liam Kitchen's back. And it seems to be solid. It seems to be that connection between him, Thomas and Collins. So... I would say Sakamoto. He's very quick and does a lot of sort of stepping and stepping out. But again, we are playing against a Premier League team. That's what it is. Leicester, without a doubt, they're a Premier League team. Let's not forget that. So I don't know how he'll deal with it. Will he deal with it, you know, with ease? But because he's so lightweight, I've noticed is, you know, defenders, as soon as he gets into that box, especially in the Championship, because it's a very gritty league, they don't want to touch him because I think he weighs about 4 pounds if he's dripping wet.
Yeah. I think that probably means, you know, I'm sure Maresca would have done his homework. He's very meticulous. And I would think that if he's going to be a starter, then he'll be playing JJ for that extra pace down that side over Doyle.
Yeah. I mean, if I think, not looked a lot into JJ, but when you think about Doyle, from my sort of recollection of him, I think he would probably struggle against someone like Sakamoto.
I don't want to take that table down there, Craig. To be honest with you, in the words of Donald Trump, end it now. That's what I can say. I mean, I don't know if he's in. Normally, we have a Leeds fan that pops in every now and again. I think Leeds, if any Leeds fans are in, I seem to remember when you beat us, you were coming for us. 17 points you're behind us now. If anything, you may be coming for us, but you're going route it by reversing and maybe looking for another one. So we're waiting for, we're still waiting for Spurs, to be honest with you, aren't we? But look at that. But Marquesa up for manager of the month for December. Mavididi up for player of the month. To be honest, we've not lost in December. I think we won every game that we played in December, and there was a lot of them.
Apart from Ipswich,
we drew with Ipswich. You're quite right, quite right. There's no way he's not going to get it, is there?
I don't think so. I don't know what Southampton did. That would be the only one, I think. Southampton were on a very good run, but they may have had a dodgy result in the middle of that. But I would think Maresca will get that.
Yeah, unless they decide he's had it twice already, let's give it to somebody else. Yeah. Some sort of attitude. The latest update is Southampton are coming for us, according to their players. Yeah. And as Scott says there, like Marquesa said from the start, we aren't a Premier League team as we are playing in the Championship. However, we have got some quality players in the system that works for us. Yeah, I mean, if we were a Premier League team, I don't know what you're saying, Luke, but I think if we were a Premier League team, we'd still be there. And we weren't good enough to be a Premier League team. It was simple as that. Right, the bit we all hate, score predictions, especially if you see the prediction league. And I have the advantage of seeing the table the day before we go do the prediction show on a Friday. And yes, Craig and me are battling for the mid-table trophy, I think, at the moment.
I haven't seen the table for a bit. Am I still struggling, Chris?
You're under me. Let me just put it that way. So you read into that.
Surely not.
Surely, yes.
Wow.
And it made me laugh because Brad, who does all the points for us, he messaged me saying, here's the latest figures, because he totals them all up, then he sends it to me to do the artwork. Here's the latest figures. I didn't have week 24 from you, Chris. I went, yeah, and here it was. I sent you them. I said, but I only got 1 point all week. So I said, you're not exactly making a huge difference to the to the table. But the table will be going up tomorrow in the group. We're going to try and put it up. We don't want to put it up, obviously, before the show, because we want people to watch the show. But it should be going up in the group after that. But, Craig, what have you gone for?
I've gone for us to nick it in a tight 2-1.
Oof. Okay, which of course was the score when we met earlier in the league. I don't know if this is good news or bad news, Craig, for the second time.
You're agreeing again.
I'm agreeing again.
You know what, Chris? I tell you what I think's going on here now is that you're ahead of me in the league, so now you're just going to go for the same results. You're just going to wait till mine go in the group and then just copy them so you can guarantee being ahead of me.
Damn, you've worked it out.
Yeah.
You've worked it out. We're doing one show, and John Thornton, who's in the league and regularly comes in, and everything he put in the chat was what I was saying, and I got accused of copying them. But no, I've gone 2-1, and I think it is going to be very tight. I don't think, I mean, Coventry gave us a good game in the first, in the return fixture earlier in the season. It's going to be tight. We do concede, we seem to. And I think we will just sneak it. Luke, I'm sure you see it the other way, though.
I'm going to agree with the scoreline, but I'm going to say it's the other way around. I've got this funny feeling that I think we might get the first goal. And then I think you might as well put it back. And I just think it'd be one of them really hard-fought draws. I just got this sneaking suspicion that little Japanese superstar nicks one in the last minute and becomes an absolute legend.
As Ronald says here, I remember when Spurs were coming for us, indeed. I mean, Southampton said they can still catch us. They can. Look, we've not had our bad blimp yet, and it's still to come. But it would have to be a major blimp. But look, football is a funny old game, as somebody once said. But we talked about this before. Luke, obviously you're the home team. What is parking like and the pubs for the away fans?
So there's parking at the ground. There's three car parks, A, B, and C. And you can sort of have to pre-book that. Right. Other than that, there's sort of some little local like pubs that will rent out their ground, rent out their car parking areas. There's not a massive lot of that apart from that. So I think it's a case of what I've always recommended to people is use as a use, I don't know if I can say it on here, but just park. It's a good app, good website. You just put where you want to be, and then just press what time, and it'll find your little car parking space. Average price you'll pay on a match day on to park on someone's driveway, anywhere between six and maybe £12-15. There is a local one right on the corner by the roundabout outside the stadium, and I think that's £10. Again, it's going to be like a first come first serve basis.
Yeah.
Pub wise, now we've got like a fan zone in like an additional estate right next to the ground called the Dillers Brewery. They own the Sky Blue Tavern in the city centre.
Right.
And now away fans will go there week in, week out. I've mixed some great away fans there and some great chats. All I've noticed is when Sunderland came to play us, they demanded that there was no colours showing going in there. There is a pub on site called The Anecdote, but again, I think under probably the advice of the local police, that will be strictly home fans only. I think there's some local pubs around, but they tend to be mainly sort of home base. So for me, I'd say is if you're going to come to the stadium, you know, I don't know what the mixed difference it makes with the colours. I think it's ridiculous, but Dillon's Brewery, it's good. There's live music there. There's food. There's entertainment, and the beer is brewed directly there. It's a good place. You know, if it's a nice day, if it's raining, but if it's a nice day, despite whether it's cold, it's a good place to go. Dillon's Brewery.
I think we're sold, aren't we, Craig?
Oh, it's great. You will love it there. It is good, even as an away. I remember when Wrexham came to play us in the FA Cup last season, I was talking to some Wrexham fans and they loved it there. I did notice that when Sunderland came to us, they said no colours showing. But there's always away fans there. Week in, week out, I go there before the game, and there's always away fans in there.
Just wash your top a lot, Leicester fans. And you did want to mention something about travelling fans with the road works or something, didn't you?
Yeah, so one of the main dual carriageway into the stadium from the M6, the A444, historically over the past couple of months, we've had some problems. They do road works on it, and it causes delays or diversions. And there is hint that they're going to be doing this again on Saturday. I'm checked on the council website, can't see anything yet, but that's whether their admin have put it up. So I'd just set off a bit earlier, head via the A444, or if you're coming from the city centre side, get the train in. There are sort of buses and train options. A lot of people will park near towards the city centre and get the bus or the train. There's a train that comes directly from Coventry Station to the stadium, but it's really weird. They only put on two carriages, and it's every hour. And yet we had a concert. Yeah, we had a concert with one of the chats from One Direction, and they put on about six carriages, and they're every half an hour. It's crazy.
Don't judge me, but I was there.
Oh, was you?
I was.
Hang on. So just go back and see. Are you talking about for the match or the One Direction concert?
Is that the time? No, I was there for Harry Styles. Yes, I was there with my Harry daughter and her fiance.
Oh, you always take your daughter along. Just exactly. Give me that cover.
Exactly.
Exactly. No, brilliant for that. Thank you very, very much, Luke. Very quickly, just a couple of quick ones because I'm just watching the time here. I am actually going onto your channel in about 10 minutes, Luke. Very quickly, first game of the season. I called it. I said it'd be brilliant to get Coventry at home. We did. We nearly cocked it up, Craig. Dewsbury Hall, who's back and fit. I'm sure Luke doesn't want to hear that, but he's back and fit, and we'll probably start tomorrow. It was the start of a great season, Craig. Your memories?
It was. My memories of that are a great double by Dewsbury Hall. The fact that we didn't look that great. It was obviously Maresca's first game. And obviously we didn't know what was to come. There was a lot of grumbles in the stands at this style of play that he was implementing, which seemed a little bit too similar to what had gone before in terms of slow build up from the back. It took us a few weeks for the fans to get on board with it, that's for sure. And there were some grumblings, but it's funny how you forget them when you walk away with 3 points against your local rivals.
It is. It is. And Luke, you must have been happy up to the 70-odd for minute.
Yeah. That Dewsbury Hall is an absolute nightmare. I mean, what's he on now? I think I saw it, 8 goals and 9 assists for a midfielder. You know, I mean, you just broke my heart by saying that he might be back on Saturday.
Sorry.
So that's it now. I'm just going to retract my prediction. He's a fantastic
player. Psychologically, Craig, we've got him. We've got him.
Yeah, he's a fantastic player. He played, I mean, yeah, I was... was really hopeful. I thought, oh, can we actually do this? And it was. The back of my mind was always there. Let's not forget, we are away. We are at their ground, and you know, although probably get on their back heels a bit because they've just come down. Like I said, I'm never going to underestimate Leicester. And Dewsbury Hall broke my heart.
He does that a lot. He does that a lot. Yeah, talking about great players, foot in both camps. We know we've got the manager. There's been quite a few players that have been in both camps. I can't remember who I did in the first game. It wasn't, Craig assures me, this gentleman. Hasn't changed at all. Ex-Coventry, ex-Leicester now. Your memories of him, Luke, if you have any?
Yeah, he was... I wasn't really sort of taken aback by him. I think for me, he's just a player that blended in, but... No, he was good for us. I mean, but he scored, I think the stats gave some of 4 or 5 goals. But he was good for us. But I always knew he'd be better. And I knew that we'd never keep him. And that's the problem, you know.
I think we felt the same, didn't we, Craig?
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, the bigger clubs are going to come and nick your players. You know, there's no way that you were going to be able to resist Norwich,
Oh, that double-edged sword again. He's been using it a lot.
But no, I mean, young players sometimes need to move, don't they, to realise their full potential. It's difficult because it comes with a lot of pressure when you are the homegrown, as it were, and coming through the ranks. You know, we've had quite a few down the years, you know, and a few recently, and it does come with a little bit of added pressure. But you obviously... did a great job with him in bringing him through the ranks, and he was great for us. You know, I know people say last season he wasn't putting it all in, but he was still, you know, head and shoulders above everyone else. And when he left, I honestly believe that when he's at his best, he could play for any club in the world. I don't think he would be out of place.
Yeah, absolutely. Deserves an England spot when he's at his best.
Yeah.
And can I just say to somebody who messaged me saying that, now that he's gone, have I taken down the signed shirt of Maddison? Yes, I have taken down the signed shirt of Maddison. It's only because I've redesigned the back and I'm actually looking at a gap where I can put it up because it's a huge bloody framed shirt that I've got of him. Gentlemen, thank you very, very much. Are you going on Saturday, Craig?
No, I couldn't get a ticket. I'm too far down the pecking order, and I know it's hard to believe.
Do they not know who you are?
Exactly. This show doesn't carry as much clout as I thought it might.
Just for me. Yeah. Oh, I was going to say something else then, but I won't. Luke, I'd like to wish you all the best. I will wish you all the best for the rest of the season, because I'd love if we go up, and God willing, it looks like we will be. I would love you to come up with us so we can carry on this rivalry. I used to work with somebody, I don't know if I said this earlier, he was a Coventry fan, I was a Leicester fan. We used to have two bets every season on the outcome of the game. Neither of us were totally convinced that our team would win it, so we only went for a pound. But I have to say, I did come out on top by the time I'd left the company. But look, thanks very much for coming on.
It's been a pleasure.
Good luck for the rest of the season. Like I said, love you to be up with us next season and carry on the rivalry. Just give everybody a shout out as to where they can find you.
At the stadium?
Your social media, sorry.
Sky Blue Fans TV. So we're on all formats, Facebook, Twitter, regularly each week. We do likewise, same as what you guys have got here. Great little show.
Sky Blues Fan TV. Go over there now, because in about 5 minutes you'll see me again.
I'll see you again.
Recording. Luke, Craig, thank you very, very much.
You're very welcome.
We got a stuff them on Saturday. Sorry, Luke.
It's all right. Good luck for the season. Good luck for
the
season.
And you, mate. All the best. And cheers. Craig, thanks very much. Have a good weekend, mate. Cheers now.
Cheers, Chris. Bye, everyone.
All right.
Bye-bye. Right, here we go. So, let me make myself big. There we go. And if you are wondering, Sky Blues Fan TV, be there in 5. I will be back again tomorrow at 7 for the Prediction League. And then... Quarter to 12, we'll be doing this match day live from quarter to 12. Thanks very much, Craig. All the best, mate. Cheers. Match day live from Saturday at 11:45. Thanks to everybody that's been in. If you listen to this on the podcast, thank you for lending me your ears. I will see you hopefully tomorrow at 7 o'clock for the prediction show with myself, Brad, and Ant. And like we said right at the start, all the best to Sven, and he goes with our thoughts for the next however long he has. I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you so very much for watching, and thank you very much for listening as well. And we will see you tomorrow.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You better like them too, or I'll be back.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die, independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans, for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.